Everyone knows the apron is the hardest part of the ring, but this is the nerdiest part of the ring. Your weekly news roundup for the wide world of professional wrestling. I am your host, I am the five-star man, Asa Gray, and joining me at this time is the big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Dalton.
Yo.
Say the earth is round.
I mean, the earth is round. I was gonna do it, but I don't want you to slap me through this computer.
We were just gonna cancel the show right then and there.
Just like, well, I just need some proof. No, it's round. It's always
you didn't
round.
React like I wanted you to. I was hoping you would be like, wait, what? No, of course. Well, I wanted to reverse gotcha moment.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I didn't know if you wanted me to go into flat earth, and I was like,
no, obviously not. I wanted you to be so like taken aback by me asking that I could then be like, ah, see, you can't even say it. You can't even say it.
I started and I was like, I can't even just. I don't know what the arguments are. It's fucking round.
They're bad. They're not.
They're bad.
Science.
They're not good. Yeah.
That's not what this podcast is. I don't know. I'm in a weird mood, y'all. So I didn't tell you this. I got a combined total of like 2 hours of sleep last night. Because
why are we doing this?
Because I wanted to do it.
Okay, fair enough. That's
and
fine.
Also, like,
that's
I'm
valid.
Not letting. I wouldn't let myself take a nap because I need to try to like. I might be going to bed at 8:30. But I'm 100% like going to bed as soon as I possibly can. But I knew if I took a nap, there was a very solid chance that the nap did not end.
Yeah.
Or it would end at like 8:45 and then I would be fucked for the night.
Yeah. And by the way, fans, this is probably the shortest pre-show we've done in a while, which is impressive for us because
it was still like 40 minutes.
Yeah, it was 40. Well, yes, but it's usually like an hour 20. So
that's
like
fair.
We don't usually don't start recording until 8:00. And we started at 7:20. We're doing great.
We spent like 10 hours in a car together on Saturday, so that...
It was so much fun, though. And I didn't have to see any of my online people I disliked in the store we went to for once. That was cool. That was a neat store. Go check out STL Comics.
I was so confused what you were talking about for a second. I was
you
like,
forgot.
What are
yeah,
you...
Yeah.
It's like, who are you even talking about? Yeah, STL Comics up in the St. Charles, St. Peter's area is really,
yeah, yeah,
really neat. Fantastic prices on some of their stuff.
I got
a couple cool scarecrow things.
I gotta pimp them to one of my wrestling people I wrestle with, Dalton Diamond. The new Jeff Hardy figure got put up for pre-order, and of course Dalton is just like, well, I need a Matt Hardy figure. And I was like, I know a place in St. Charles that has one. And he was like, what was the price? And I was like, I want to say it was under 30. But I'm not, it was like, it was 30 or under. And I was like, I don't remember the exact price because I already have one. But yeah, no, I was like, oh yeah, it's in St. Charles, Missouri. It's a little bit of a drive, but it's a fun store.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff in St. Louis. We also shout out to Time Warp.
Oh, Time Warp, my
as
dudes.
Well. They're the homies. But
I gotta
we're
going to
be talking a lot about wrestling action figures and WWE 2K24. And the WWE Hall of Fame, and all sorts of fun stuff. But before we jump into that, we start every episode the same way, with the power of positivity, because the internet can be such a toxic, negative place for no discernible reason, so we try to do our part to share something in the week, in the world of wrestling that made us happy, and we encourage you to do the same. Let someone know that whatever they're doing made you happy, because it can make their day. Mine goes to the videos that got leaked online of, I think it was post Rampage taping, or maybe it was just from after Rampage this week. I'm not 100% sure. Last week. Sorry. I love the video of the best friends and Swerve and Nana,
mm-hmm,
and Orange Cassidy doing the Orange Cassidy version of the Nana dance.
Yeah,
so it's like, because it's a full spectrum of you have the Kentucky gentleman, Chucky T, just chilling in the corner. Like, he's into it for about 3 seconds, and then he's like, you know what? I'm just going to observe.
Yeah.
And just have a good old time. You have Trent, who is very into it, but he's just doing the most over-exaggerated white guy version of dancing.
Fair enough,
which
fair enough.
I don't know if it's genuine or not. Either way, it makes me laugh. You have Rocky Romero fucking killing it.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell he has been waiting to do this in front of other human beings.
He's been practicing.
Yes.
He's wrote notes. He was ready.
And then you have Orange Cassidy doing the Orange Cassidy version of everything. My favorite part was whenever he does the double fist pump jump.
Yeah.
And Cassidy's just got his arms just kind of like up and is just slowly
turning.
Yeah, it was fun. It made me smile real big. Cause I like that kind of goofy shit that, you know, they do just for the live crowd.
Yeah, I want to say I went to one Monday Night Raw where Danielson hit a stunner on he hit a stunner on Orton, or he had the ref hit a stunner on Orton. It was post show. It was in St. Louis, and it was right before it was the October before WrestleMania 30. So like, mm-hmm. It was height of Yes Movement, but it was some silly shit like that where Orton was just getting the dog shit beat out of him by everybody. It was pretty great. It was right before their Hell in the Cell match.
One of my favorite things in that kind of not genre, not trope, in the post show shenanigans,
mm-hmm.
is whenever a heel gets knocked out and he just stays down the entire, like CM Punk's done it.
Jerry Lynn did it one time.
Yeah, like a handful of people have done it, and then the like ring crew has to just like they start taking the ring down around them. They're like rolling them out of the way to get the mat up. Like it always makes me laugh every single time.
It's good work, especially if you're cool with doing it. Like,
mm-hmm. I don't think anyone has been forced to do that. I think it's just how long can I lay here?
Yeah, it's how long are they going to allow me to lay here? Because again, as someone that's tear down rings. Mm-hmm. If I have some a-hole just in the middle of the ring doing shtick, like I'm kicking them. Like they're catching a boot. get the hell out of the way, Brandon. It would be Brandon. Brandon's the only person that would do it.
Year two, CCW Pinnacle, CCW Champion Brandon Barbwire.
Oh, 100%.
Absolutely would have gotten clocked with brass knuckles or something, and just. Laid out the entire time,
and especially if he knew that if it was gonna fuck with me, he would have done it extra long. He would have made me walk over his body while carrying boards. I know how. Like Brandon, everybody's gone. He still would be like there.
You would yell this exact sentence. It doesn't count if you're sitting here visibly laughing at us. Is what you would have to yell at him.
Which
because
is exactly
he would.
What, and that's
he would
how
just
I
be
would
sitting there
it.
Like eyes closed. Just
chuckling,
giggling
like an asshole. He should be my power of positivity this week, but he's not. I'm
fuck you,
I'm,
Brandon.
Fuck him.
That's what Dalton said.
I stay saying it. I literally send him text messages. How I start conversations, middle finger emoji.
Mm-hmm.
I've started serious conversations with him that way. But no, mine goes out to Pro Wrestling Tees this week. Because they may have made the best wrestling shirt of all time. It's a Bob Holly shirt. The color blue and yellow of his like trunks he wore in the Attitude Era. But it says, hey, I have an idea. Give me the belt and I beat everybody. Bob Holly. Now, this is an early wrestling story from like the shoot interview days of like the mid-2000s. But it's hands down my favorite Bob Holly story. Because apparently he was not a nice person whenever he was in the WWE. Or F. And, like, he's kind of apparently mellowed out and being, like, wrestling's cool older, like, uncle now. But, like, I love hearing Bob Holly stories, and that's probably my favorite one. And just the fact that they made a shirt out of it and enough people understand the joke. It's just one of those dumb things in wrestling. If you buy this shirt, like, you can go to WrestleCon and a lot of people, you're gonna pop a lot of folk. And that's about all you can do with this wrestling shirt. And sometimes that's what I like with my wrestling attire. I have put it in my cart. Yes, I do still have my 20% off Pro Wrestling Tees from doing WrestleCrate. I'm still kind of thinking about it because it's a pretty funny shirt. And it's the only time I will buy a Bob Holly shirt.
It's such a rant. Like, where did he come out of?
What do you mean?
Like, it's one of those. That's a name I haven't heard in a very long time. Like, did he start a YouTube channel like Maven or Stevie Richards or like a podcast?
No.
Or is it just like, I'm going to make a t-shirt now?
I think he is.
Or is this even like his t-shirt?
No, this is on his Pro Wrestling Tees site.
Okay.
Like,
I assumed it was like, I assumed it was on his shop. I just didn't know if, or it's like maybe PWTs is just like, all right, we're making a weird shirt and we're using his name.
He has his own, like, and his store is fairly new. So actually, yeah, my power positivity is going to be Bob Holly having a pro wrestling tee store. He does have a Spark Plug Holly shirt. And then the rest of it is just kind of unhinged shit that he said throughout his career. So, like, in, like, stories that have been told about him. So we have the Bob Holly's Chop House. He's very known for delivering very stiff chops to new people. Right. The Alabama Slam of Bob Holly shirt made to look like the Crimson Tide logos. That kind of goes hard. He does have, like, the shitty-looking 90s wrestling shirt. And then he has the I Have an Idea, Give Me the Belt, and I Beat Everybody, Bob Holly. And, like, he has not had a career renaissance as of late. Like, not that he's, like, a... He's just not doing anything. Like, I think he does indies every once in a while. But he very much was kind of that guy that, like, there's a lot of stories about Bob Holly, like, Brock Lesnar sandbagged him. So he sandbagged Brock Lesnar. Unfortunately, it was Brock Lesnar, so he dropped him on his head on a powerbomb and broke his neck. He broke Holly's neck. Like, Bob Holly is that dude. And it's just neat. Like, I like whenever random people from the 90s and Attitude Era and Ruthless Aggression Era get pro wrestling t-shirts. Because, like, it's usually the most unhinged shit. And this is the most unhinged shit.
So, I have this page up, and I'm looking at these designs. And I literally just had to look to make sure I wasn't on a Stephen Berry's website.
I will say the one that's just hardcore, the gray shirt, that shitty-looking 90s one, that's my favorite. That's the one I would buy. If they gave me that in a pro wrestling crate, I would be so fucking hyped.
The gray one? With yeah, the skull and the chairs?
No. This one right here, it has like the orange logo of him in the middle. Yeah. If they gave me that one, I would be so fucking in. I'd be like, this is my favorite wrestling shirt. Because it looks like a shitty 90s shirt. It looks like a Stephen Berry's wrestling shirt.
That's what all of these look like. Whole thing sucked. Like,
yeah, that was actually a major pod thing. Because apparently, like, Matthews or Brian Myers and Cardona made like had a match in front of them. And they were like, what'd you think about it? And he was like, whole thing sucked. Like, because again, Bob Holly is that fucking dude. Or he was, at least. Apparently he's a lot more chill now. But yeah, no, I think it's just funny that he has a pro wrestling tee store. So if you were a Bob Holly fan and you have the means, go ahead and buy a shirt. Cause like that they do, like, I've had people buy shirts off my store, and pro wrestling tees does send the money to the people that it. Like, I've gotten, like, you can check my PayPal. I have pro wrestling tees, like, receipts. Not great ones. Not Bob Holly numbers, I hope. For his sake, I hope not. But, like, they do right by the people that they make shirts for. So if you like Bob Holly, and, like, I keep saying that like a joke. Like, Bob Holly was a really good wrestler. Like, he just, like, he's one of those that he was just a really good wrestler, and that's kind of where it stopped. His hardcore run. Actually, do you remember? This is really weird. I'm so sorry that I'm on this tangent about Bob Holly. Do you remember the, like, EC or WWE ECW whenever he came in and, like, they just made him the baddest of asses for, like, 3 months?
No.
Oh my God. He had such a good run in, like, the ECW version of, or the WWE version of ECW. Like,
yeah, I remember he was either in that Elimination Chamber match, or he was in, like, the qualifiers for it.
I don't think he was in that match, but, like, he had a hardcore match with either Van Damme or Sabu. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Sabu.
Is that when he gashed his back on the table?
Yeah. And after that, they, like, treated him like a big fucking deal for a couple months, because, like, he kept working. Like, that was, like, at the beginning of the match.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kept working through it. So, like, they made that, like, he very much was, like, a top guy in WWE ECW for a while. Which is real weird.
Well, his name's Hardcore Holly.
It makes sense. Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. But, like, it was only Hardcore Holly because they didn't have anything for him. So they put him in the fucking Hardcore division, because it was just Crash and Bob Holly for a while. And then they started putting the Hardcore title on him. And then we got Hardcore Holly. We can stop talking about him. I'm sorry.
I did not know you liked the Hardcore Holly that much.
It's my Steve Blackman. Yeah, Blackman.
That's fair. I mean, worse in every way, sure. But, like, I get it.
If they made a Bob Holly Elite tomorrow and they said this has a chase, like a Mattel chase where it's like 1 in 3 is going to be like a different color, I would make sure I got both colors. Like I would make sure, that happened. Bob Holly has not had a figure come out in a while.
Oh, I mean, I don't mean to say, this is going to sound so much more disrespectful than I mean it to, but yeah. I am now heartbroken that Steve Blackman does not have a pro wrestling tee store.
Yeah. Oh, he's a apparently he's been floating around indies, like doing appearances every once in a while now.
And no, PWTs, I did not mean Sleeve Blackman. What the fuck?
I have a new gimmick.
No, you don't.
I'm doing
you
it.
You absolutely don't.
Sleeve Blackman.
Anyway, after months and months, well, no, after like 2 weeks of Dalton having so much stuff to talk about with Wrestling with Articulation, I'm going to, instead of us going on another 20-minute tangent about who's better, Steve Blackman or Hardcore Holly, but if you have a strong opinion on this, which, honestly, given who I know listens to this show,
someone really,
you probably might. Yeah. So go ahead and tweet at NerdiestPart. I might do a poll tomorrow, if I remember.
Yeah.
I might do a poll of, like, Steve Blackman or Hardcore Holly. No context. Just
I'm tagging them. Oh no, I'm not.
No, I'm not. No snitch tagging.
I'm not tagging them. What if there's heat? I don't want to find out that way.
I don't think Hardcore Holly even does. He have a Twitter?
Well, I'm figuring that out right now.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you don't even know. Anyway, we're gonna do a little bit of an. There is news to talk about. You know, like I said, we're talking about the Hall of Fame. AEW's Boston reveal was last night. We'll be talking all about that too. But before we get to that, Dalton has a lot of stuff to talk about. I have some stuff that I want to talk about as well. So we're going to do Wrestling with Articulation up front. And we are going to start with Dalton's WWE 2K24 review.
Okay, so I've put about 12 hours into the game. Well, no, I think the last time I checked it was like 14 hours. I put like 14 hours into the game. I have beaten all of Showcase, and I started MyRise. The issue with MyRise is that I don't like the stories half the time. So, like, I just, like, fast forward through all the text and all of the actual, like, world building, and I just play the matches.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine. The creative suite's very intuitive, like it always is. It's 2K. You know what you're getting whenever it comes to creating superstars. So I've done a little bit of that. The best thing they could have done, they did this year, which there are like persona cards in my faction that if you unlock them, you get special alternate versions of characters. So like the first one we've gotten is 09 Sheamus, with like the theme song he had in that time frame. If you unlock that card, which I think is something that you get like almost immediately in my faction this year, is that is unlocked throughout every game mode. So like, gone are the days of, well, they have DX, like 98 DX Shawn Michaels in the game, but you can only do it, you can only open it in packs. So I hope you open the right pack and you only get to play with it in my faction. That doesn't seem to be a thing anymore, which is fucking great. Because they take all the time to put these models in the game. Let me play as those characters. I'll play, like, I will put time in my faction to unlock it, but let me play with it in general game.
Right.
They fixed that. That's pretty good. I put a decent amount of time in my faction just because, like, if they do it right, I really like playing my faction. It feels like they did a lot of extra stuff this year that makes it feel a little bit better. The showcase is fine. It feels like the 2K20s showcases that they've done. Like, 2K20s... Oh, go ahead.
The showcase is the... Do they do the... Where it's interstitched with, like... Actual footage clips, and you have to do put your opponent on top of the turnbuckle and then it gets to them hitting a huge Frankensteiner like a moment in the match.
Yeah.
Okay. They were still doing that for this year. For whatever reason, like the preview footage that I saw, maybe it might have been like an embargo thing that they weren't allowed to show it, but I didn't see any of that. So I didn't know if that was still in this year, which I'm really glad it is, because that is a, even though like I haven't played this game at all, I might pick it up later in the year when it's all on sale, just so I can remind myself that I just don't like the 2K style gameplay. But I always thought that was a cool, like, storytelling device to kind of to integrate into the game.
Yeah. So the showcase mode is fine. You get 21 matches. And then it ends in like an all-star Royal Rumble that you have to win to completely complete, showcase. And that actually gives you, that's what got me into, my faction, because it gives you like some of the better cards that are out in my faction as of right now. Now in a month's time, those cards probably won't be nearly as good, but like as of right now, if you want to not spend money on my faction and just have good cards right away, you have to play showcase. But anyway, and I think there's things you unlock in My Rise. It's hard for me to get through those fucking story modes. I liked the showcase. I liked it way better when it was 30 years of WrestleMania and we got 40 matches. I think they did a good job giving us a good roster of characters, but like there are matches they could have added in that game mode because they had the people for it that they just didn't. It's a good mode. Again, it's one of those, if you're a new 2K player, it sounds like I'm being like no mercy old man yells at cloud of being like, oh, he's just saying the older games are better because it's what he played when he was younger. I was 20. How old am I now? I was 21 when 2K20 or 2K14 came out, and that showcase mode had 40 matches and it was insanely cool. And there was like cutscenes in almost, I'd say, 80% of them, not cutscenes with the actual match, but like they recreated moments in the game or in the match in the game engine. I love, like, that's 2K14 will forever be my favorite 2K, like, wrestling video game of all time. Like, of all time, 2K14's it. For me as of right now. But, like, this mode's cool. It does have a cool look back on it. But the just lack of matches compared to what they did 10 years earlier is kind of funny to me. But it's good. The gameplay itself is really tight this year. You can really tell that, like, the developers have figured out how to make a wrestling game correctly, which is good. Like, it feels a lot tighter than the last two games. The gameplay since 2K22 on, you can tell that they are improving the game year to year. It's not just a, we added and took away people. This is like, we're building it. We're trying to make it better. We're trying to make it more unique to what you see on actual WWE product. I say buy it. I don't know if you necessarily need the $100 version or the $120 version. I think if you just buy the base game, you're going to have a fun time with it. They did announce all the DLC, which I think we did talk about.
We did, yeah.
But we did finally get the confirmation on the one pack in the middle of the year that they only gave us one character on. It is Pat McAfee's show. So we get AJ Hawk, we get Boston Connor, we get like two more of his co-hosts. But they're just going to be in the game.
That sucks. Which,
well, so they like talked about it on their show. Like Pat McAfee talked about it, and he was just like, everybody they were going to put in this game was already in the game by the time that we agreed to do this. Like, we did not take anybody's spots. Like, everybody that was supposed to be in the game was supposed to be in the game. We are legitimately extra. And I think there was a deal where he was like, if I'm in the game, I want my show in the game. So I think they were able to work a deal out, because I don't know, like, it sounded like it was contingent on the fact that if we get Pat, like, we only get Pat if we get his friends. But also, like, they had already gotten everybody for the game they need, or were gonna put in it. So this was literally just, like, a nice little bow on top. I'm a big Pat McAfee show fan, so, like, I am legitimately excited for this. That being said, overall, I think if you want to play a wrestling game, it's the best wrestling game out right now. I've had way more fun playing it than Fight Forever. But it's a more complete game than Fight Forever. But they've also been building this game for 2 years. Like, I've had a lot of fun with it. The weapons that you can do now, like, you can throw weapons at people. I've spent the whole match chucking chairs at people like I was Sabu.
Have you played any of the... So they brought back some new game modes, like the ambulance match, the casket match. I haven't done any of those? Okay. Mm-mm.
Yeah. There's mechanics with those that I'm just like, right now I just kind of want to enjoy my wrestling game. And probably in next month, in May, no, in a month and a half from now, in May, whenever they drop the ECW pack, mm-hmm. I'll probably like start getting into every game mode, because I still haven't done like an elimination chamber. I've been mainly doing like singles. I've done a couple steel cages. I've done a couple tags. Like whatever my faction is giving me is what I'm doing.
Okay.
But it's a lot of fun. I love the roster this year. They really did give us a couple. We still can't fucking get 98 Kane. I want 98 Kane. Just give me when Kane was cool. Or give me 02 Kane. I want 98 Kane or I want 02 Kane. Just give me those. I'm tired of having 08 Kane and like 2015 Kane. I hate it. Give me the Kane I want. But no, it's cool. I like the game a lot.
That's good. I'm glad, like, because again, 2K20 was such a black eye to the whole franchise that it is genuinely, like I said, even though I'm not a fan of the series, it is good to see them kind of regain their footing and really come back strong and stronger. Like, kind of funny is Greg Miller said that he thinks this is the greatest wrestling game of all time now. And I've seen other people online talk about how the roster is probably one of the most complete
full rosters
that they've ever had.
Yeah, and like the DLC this year, that's why like them adding Pat McAfee Show and Post Malone doesn't bother me. Because like we're getting the Dudley Boys, we're getting Terry Funk, we're getting like the only people that I feel like we're truly missing, and it's not a bad thing, are Ric Flair and Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
Like those are the two main ones that I'm like, fuck, I would like, not that I wish that we had them, but like, I do like playing as Ric Flair in those games. I do like playing Brock Lesnar. You do get to play Brock in the WrestleMania 30 match against Taker. And, like, his character's a lot of fun to play as. But, no, the roster as a whole is, like, so complete. It's not even funny. And the, like, DLC this year is adding a lot of people. They didn't give us, like, 99 Scott Steiner. We still have... like the Steiner brothers, Steiner, and that kind of bums me out because I want unhinged Scott Steiner. We don't have Bob Holly this year either, so we're going to hope that he signs a contract and we get Bob Holly in the next year's game because I need a world champion in my video game. So,
it honestly, like, one of the most impressive parts of the DLCs, because I had to double check, but the fact that they're the turnaround to get CM Punk in the first May pack is pretty wild. Now, granted, they probably had all of the like animations and stuff ready to go for the creator wrestler stuff beforehand, but still, like, that kind of turnaround is super quick. And then we know Jade Cargill is coming, Lyra Valkyria is going to be in there, Dragon Lee, who has that was almost my power positivity this week, was his
entrance. Yeah,
was his new entrance with the smoke coming out of the dragon's mouth. Like, that looks sick. So yeah, I'm glad it's a good game. I'm glad the roster's as stacked as it is, so that, you know, fans of the series are getting seemingly a complete package and their money's worth. Like, sure, it's a bummer that there's less showcase modes, but you know, it seems like with the extra match types, the kind of little bit of tweaks they've done to the My Faction system. I don't know much about My Rise at all, but there's a lot to do.
Yeah, like it's a very full game,
and with the schedule release of all of the DLC, like, you're gonna have reasons to go back to it.
Yeah,
because they've added stuff to like My Faction before that really.
Yeah.
And we know they're adding My Faction stuff as well. It just hasn't been revealed yet. So
yeah, My Faction is like a live service almost. It's not as Now, it can be predatory if you want to spend the money. You can waste a lot of money on 2K24, but you don't have to for it to still be a complete game.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that I think that they could drop that I'm going to be like, I will put $50 in a pack to see if I can get that character model in the game. I don't think there's a single thing that they can release that will make me want to do that, because they pretty much gave me every version of every character I could want.
Bob Holly. Sparky Plug, 98 Kane.
I'll spend $50 if I can get those three.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Now look that. Now who looks stupid? It's Dalton.
I thought you were gonna say, "How do you like me now?" And I need you to know, I would have muted the mic, stopped the episode, and been like, "We're done."
I thought about it.
I'd have been proud of you.
Do you want to know the real reason that I didn't?
Why?
because I was going to be real embarrassed if it turned out How Do You Like Me Now was actually Jeff Jarrett.
Oh, no, yeah, it's Bob.
Because they sound the same.
Yeah, kind of.
Close your eyes, listen to him talk.
Oh, God, what was I going to say?
Like, look, you look me in the eye right now and tell me that Hardcore Slapnuts isn't something that Hardcore Holly would have on his Stephen Berry store. I mean, PWT's store.
They're great shirts, Asa. I need to buy one of them. Billy Hills did say, like, I'll buy one if you buy one. I have an idea. Give me the belt and let me beat everybody. Like, he said, I will buy one of those if you buy one. Joke's on
him. I'll only accept it if you tape over where it says Bob Holly and just put me.
Me?
like Sami Zayn over the Sami Uso.
Yeah.
Shirt. Just duct tape it, but me.
I was going to say something about the game, but I forgot. But yeah, no, that's the video game. Again, if you play 2K, you know what you're getting into. It's a very complete game. They're like, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. The character models, like, it does look like they put some work into the way they look. The lighting on the WrestleMania 31 stage, whenever it's the daytime, is hands down the prettiest, like, stage I've ever gotten. Like, the light, because it's daytime, the lighting effects they did, like, it looks correct. It looks like it actual daytime in a wrestling ring.
But, well, that's cool. Well, as more DLC stuff for my faction gets announced, I'm sure this is not the last time we'll be talking about 2K24. Other stuff for Wrestling with Articulation on the articulation side of things. Dalton has a ton that he wants to talk about, but I have a couple things that I also want to talk about. And so we're going to start with that because it'll go quicker, I bet. The first one being, oh, I lost it. Son of a, I'm so annoyed. Hey, Dalton.
Yeah, what's up?
Talk about WWE From the Vault, Ringside Exclusive Series 1.
Oh, okay. So, cool. I had to pull up Ringside's website or Instagram so I can keep up with everything. Cause again, we've missed a couple weeks and surprisingly a bunch of shit has happened. So Ringside, early this week, it was early last week. Said, like, had a post saying, like, stay tuned, whatever day it was, at this time, for a major announcement. And a lot of us were like, oh, they're going to announce the pre-orders for the Outsiders Ultimates. That's what I was expecting. Nothing major, because, like, they burned me on the Jurassic Express 2-pack before, so, like, I'm used to Ringside letting me down. But I just see a picture of it while I'm at work, Ringside From the Vault. Series 1, we're getting re-releases of early Mattels. Now, some are early, some are not, but, like, all 8 of these figures, which is insane for a line, are all heavy hitters. So we have the Dudley Boys, which were, like, an Elite 40. I got those in 2018 in Dallas with Andy, and I think, like, loose, I still spent, like, $60 to $70 for the pair. Loose. In box, they're, like, over $100 a figure. We're getting Defining Moments Undertaker from Survivor Series 96, which was an early Survivor or an early Defining Moments, which is another, like, all of these figures that I'm about to say go for over $100 in box, the original versions. We're getting early Elite, like, from the first 10 Elite waves, we're getting Shawn Michaels and Triple H in DX, so it's Glow Stick DX. They're cool, but I have the ones I want from that era of DX. Ultimate Warrior from the Target's Hall of Champions, which was a really hard one to get. And it comes with, like, the white winged eagle. Defining Moments John Cena from the Raw draft, where he was drafted to Raw. And it's actually, funny enough, it was a Spirit of St. Louis jersey that he was wearing. Moses Malone's 13. Now, obviously, it's just an orange jersey that with a 13 on it says Cena on the back. But I kind of want that figure just because it's meant to represent the St. Louis American Basketball Association's basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
And then the heaviest of hitters, in my opinion, is a Ringside exclusive figure from 2012, Kane. But Kane from 2002, whenever he had the hardcore title. And I think this might have been the first time, like, the original release is the first time you could get the WWF hardcore title in elite form. This was a Ringside exclusive figure. I started collecting elites in 2014. This figure was long gone before I started collecting. Whenever I had a big boy job and I wanted to, like, find some odds and ends that I wanted, I did not have a good Kane that I liked in my collection. I think I had, like, a 2012 Kane that was, like, whenever he was feuding with Cena. like that version of Kane, which is like, it's good, but it's not the Kane you want. And to find a 90s Kane was insane. So I was like, oh, I had a friend that had the 02 Kane. And I was like, hey, how much would you sell that? He had it new in box. And he said, I can't get rid of it for under $100. And then I eBayed it. And that was him being nice to me.
Mm-hmm.
So for like over 10 years, this figure has been insane to get. And you can get it now. And it's all new head scans. Some of them look a little wonky because like those old head molds were not made for like the inkjet printing. But they're cool figures. If you have enough heads like I do to swap them out, like I could get those DX, Shawn, and Triple H and make better looking figures for myself, and I would be happy with them. Right now, I only have one pre-ordered. I only ordered the Kane because like I have those Dudleys, and I'm hoping that they're going to make some ECW Dudleys eventually. So like I don't feel like I need those. I don't need the DX. I have enough Warriors. I might get the Cena. I might get the Undertaker. I needed that goddamn Kane.
Yeah.
So I ordered that one. I'm pretty excited about it. They also made it look like the first 10 waves of Elite's boxes. Like they mocked it up after the way those boxes looked.
Oh yeah, it does look like the Zack Ryder I have.
Yeah, I don't know if it was first 10. I think it's first 15. I think they changed boxes like every 15, 20 waves. But they made it kind of reminiscent to the first boxes that Elite's got. Because you got to think this wave, like this action figure series, is almost 15 years old. And they've been doing the same figure. It's been Elites the whole time. Now you have Ultimates, but like they've been doing Elites since 2010. And Elites are still going strong. So, and Bill McKenna, the guy that does these figures, like the ones that design them, he said, like, I don't like re-releasing stuff unless it's 10 years or more, like 10 years or older. And there's been a couple of rule breaks with that. Even with this wave, there's a couple of rule breaks with that. But like there's a lot of old Elites that I want them to redo. Because I didn't get a chance to get them. And like CM Punk is on the table now. There's a lot of CM Punk ringside figures that like there's a Straight Edge Society with him in the mask. That's the one that everybody's like, if they do a From the Vault 2, that needs to be like, that should be the O2 Kane. That should be in there. That should be the hardest figure to get. Mine's on back order. I waited 3 days to order and Kane was already on back order.
Yeah. It's still shown as available on ringside, but yeah, it'll probably right now it says estimated late June.
And
same
here's
with
my,
the Dudleys, Cena.
Yeah, and if you're upset that this is tanking the value of the secondary market, there's only one person I really want to pay for Elites, and that's Mattel. Cause like Mattel can raise and lower the prices, but at the end of the day, if I'm paying straight from Mattel, I'm paying retail. And that's who I want to buy these figures from. I don't like paying. I paid $100 for a Brian Pillman, which I, by the way, still haven't opened. Which I probably am going to end up opening now because I feel like a Brian Pillman's going to come in about a year. You're welcome, Dylan. But yeah, no, the From the Vault, it's really cool that they're doing this. I hope this is a thing that they keep doing. I'm cool with these re-releases. I can get a lot of cool shit that way, without having to spend an arm and a leg. That's how I got King Harley Race. Because that was an insane figure to try to find originally, and now I got it for like $30 after because of the Greatest Hits line. This is just more Greatest Hits line stuff. And it's not affecting the current market of shit. Like, we're still tripping over new stuff all the time. We found Otis last week. Like, we found almost that entire wave minus Balor and Grayson Waller. So, I think it's cool. AEW dropped a bunch of... Oh, by the way, if you find House of Black AEW figures or Keith Lee or Swerve, just buy it. They're fucking cool figures. Jazzwares really does feel like they're kind of making a turn in their production where like their figures feel really fun to have again. It's not a lot of re-releases, it's not a lot of duplicate guys, and the figures are fun to mess with. So I've enjoyed those a lot. But we have two sets of AEW pre-orders go up this week. We have Jericho House and Chris Jericho from the Rockin' Rager. I don't know why this is an AEW toy, but it is. Because it's on his goddamn cruise ship. I get it. They have the rights to both people. Just go ahead and make it because it's a Jericho House and people will buy it.
Well, no, the reason... Think of what an AEW section of a Walmart or a Target looks like. This is, of course, going... This is a weird niche...
Yeah, a
figure.
Niche of a niche.
They're not going to mass release this. Like, you were talking about maybe picking it up on sale.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I'm at, but I don't know, which granted, I'm not as familiar with how Ringside works. So I don't know like how many of these they're going to make, but like,
it's more than 5,000.
It's well, yeah, but like, is it going to sell out or is it going to just like, oh, this is going to get clearanced out for Black Friday?
It might get clearanced out. Give me 1 second. Cause you asked that question. Now I just want to check something for kicks and gigs.
Because so that's kind of where I'm at of, it's just like, I like Danhausen, obviously, like I've talked about Jericho a ton on this show. So I'm, but yeah, the $35 is really the tipping point for me. Cause like, yeah. I get it. It's two extra heads. It's the cape.
To answer your question about like, do you think it'll sell out? Which I is not a question you asked, but just like talking about it. The Danhausen Very Nice, Very Evil is still $31.99 on Ringside. And that figure came out last year.
Okay.
So like, it could sell out. I don't see it selling out. I think this is, it's neat. It's cool that they did it, the Jerichohausen. Again, I'll get it whenever it's not $34.99. I'll get it when it's $24.99. I'll wait for Black Friday or I'll wait for 4th of July. Whenever I can get it for $25 is whenever I'll buy it. Because I don't need it. It's not a, like, I can put them next to my, I have two Danhausens in my collection. I can put him next to one of them.
Yeah. So real quick, I remembered the thing. I found the thing that I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
We got the pre-orders are up for AEW Unmatched Series 9.
I was just about to talk about that.
So, well, let me do this one. It's my show, okay. Dalton. Let me do this one.
I thought it was our show.
Dalton? No, that's what I tell you to make you feel better about yourself.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay, sure. What do we want to talk about?
AEW Unmatched Series 9. That's obviously a bit. I feel bad about that.
No, you're good.
That doesn't make me feel good.
Did it make you feel worse that I was completely submissive to it?
No, it was just, it's just like, that's just kind of where my tired brain is at, is it's just like, man, I shit on Dalton so much. It's like, I don't want to do that.
Anyway, Unmatched Series 9.
Anyway, Unmatched Series 9. Pretty solid lineup-ish, but there's one giant asterisk that I'm going to get to at the end, because otherwise I'm going to get too mad to talk about the rest of it.
Okay.
We're getting another Jamie Hayter. Cool. I like her first figure a lot. I have that chase because of you. And it is very, very neat, and more Hayter representation is always welcome.
Yep. This is her fourth AEW figure, by the way.
Oh, shit.
Yep. The first two, she had the all-in shop one. The one.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then this one.
Neat. This is a Blackpool Combat Club wave in entirety. We got black and white camo pants Moxley. We got Claudio Castagnoli. We got Wheeler Yuta as the... this is the first Wheeler Yuta that isn't the Blood and Guts one, right?
Yes. Well, not if, not if you count my super sick custom.
I obviously don't, Dalton. I obviously don't. Wheeler does come with the pure title, which is a neat touch.
The Blood and Guts also comes with that.
Oh, does it?
Yep, I have two of those titles.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
We get... and this is where it kind of goes a little downhill for me personally, because I gave you shit about it when you pointed it out, but the more I thought about it, the more I was like, what are you doing? Jeff Hardy is getting his first AEW figure, but he's wearing, like, the weird... It's his ring gear, but it doesn't... I don't know. Something about these renders doesn't look great.
So here's what I think. I think this is what what he might have been wearing when he first... debuted and like went to save Matt.
Oh, you know what, now that you point that out,
because I think the chair is even like the same chair he used, because it's a painted chair. That's kind of a neat touch that they got a chair that, and they like are putting art decals on it to make it look like his painting. But I think it's whenever he came out to save Matt, like his debut, like whenever he fucking came out and did the dance right before he went to go kick shit,
right? Which again, hilarious. Adam Copeland made his debut to save somebody getting beat down, full and got entrance. A full-on vignette aired. And yeah, you were absolutely 100% right. He is just in the black pants.
Does he have a
which
chair?
Also explains why he doesn't have the Jeff Hardy armbands.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't wearing those during his debut. So this is AEW debut Jeff Hardy. I no longer am mad about it. That's kind of neat. Bryan Danielson showed up to the, hey, we need to scan you for the new action figure. And he's like, cool, I just got done running errands. I'm coming back from Trader Joe's, so I'm just going to pop the shirt off. And then you can catch me in my sweatpants and jog and like running shoes.
I will say, because he was wearing that white shirt for the longest time.
Yeah.
Like his micro brawler is even in that white shirt.
Yeah.
I might.
And it comes and it does come with the white shirt.
Yeah, I might buy this. It's not.
This is debut Danielson, isn't it?
Maybe. Which is a choice because we have gotten, this is his fourth figure. Yeah. Cause he got his figure. It's going to be like his sixth figure at the end of this year. Cause he has a pay-per-view from Target coming out. Will we talk about that? That they're doing a pay-per-view wave. The Target exclusives are moving to like pay-per-view moments.
Oh no, I don't think we did.
Yeah, that's so the first one's going to be Danielson from like 2 years ago, I'll end up buying it.
His pants in his debut almost look green instead of
khaki,
but I can see where this would be his debut gear as well. So also, okay, if it's just his debut stuff, like I don't hate it as much.
Because also,
I'm still probably not going to grab it, but it's not as bad comparatively.
I might end up with it just because it's Danielson, and I can put that, because like he also wore that white shirt just with his wrestling gear.
Yeah.
So it would be funny. Like right now I have an American Dragon robe that I have on my AEW one, but I also have just the two pack Danielson from the Moxley one. Cause I wanted that new Moxley like buck. I might put that shirt on that one if I buy it. Cause it's also a smiling head scan. Like it's a new Danielson head scan as well. The Claudio is real cool. I do like the Claudio a whole lot. It's his debut gear. Man, I'm really hoping that they don't put the soft goods on the goddamn figure. Same thing with the Wheeler Yuta. I love the Yuta. I know what you're going to talk about.
Oh, yeah. I'm letting you get your good thoughts out before
I'm good. I'm happy. It's BCC. This is going to be a wave that I don't know if I'm going to buy all of it yet. Because, like, if I buy the Moxley and the stuff's, like, stained, I have, like, 8 Moxes. I have 2 of the Chases in box still from the Series 12 that have immaculate bodies. Like, I might end up with that just so I can have him have BCC on his gear.
Yeah.
Damn it, I'm going to end up with this whole wave minus Hater. And, well, minus the one you're about to talk about.
Actually, no, you're not going to end up with this whole wave. Because they're doing the worst fucking thing that they have started to do in such a long time. Which is, we've talked about the character-specific chase variants before. It started with the Bunny, where the Bunny did not get a normal release in the wave. She was a chase figure, so your odds of finding her in the wild were just about zero. They then followed it up with a Billy Gunn, which wasn't as bad. Dalton and I kind of went back and forth on it because, like,
you can get okay, a Billy
you
Gunn.
Can if still you... get a Billy Gunn if you get the the acclaimed 3-pack. But if you just want a single Billy Gunn, you have to luck into finding one that's a chase. Which, weirdly enough, we did.
Yeah.
Like, we ended up finding that Billy Gunn that Dalton has now. Well, now they're doing another version of that in Unmatched Series 9. And this one is significantly more infuriating because Alex Reynolds, the final member of the Dark Order to get a figure, minus people that are either no longer with the company or Preston Vance, who is no longer with Dark Order, to get a figure. Alex Reynolds is finally getting a figure, and it's a motherfucking 1 in 5,000 chase. I am so upset about this.
Yeah.
I like the Dark Order so much. I have John Silver. I have Uno. I have Anna Jay. I have Mr. Brody Lee. I have -1 because I have that 2-pack.
Mm-hmm. Let
me get Alex Reynolds. Let me add Alex Reynolds. And it's worse because he looks so fucking cool.
Yeah, it's a cool
The jacket that he comes with looks awesome. I need this Alex Reynolds, and it's never gonna happen. I can just feel it in my bones.
It's one of those, like, so I was talking to Asa, like, on pre-show about it. Like, I am cool with spending above market value for the chases, but not much. Like, the one in whatever thousand, there's a certain limit I'll go to. If it's a 1 in 3,000 and I like, if it's something I need, which fortunately the 1 in 3,000s, like, I have lucked into all of those that I have, minus the shop ones. Like, the shop ones are the most I paid for a 1 in 3,000. Oh, no, that's not true. Brody was 70. I paid $70 for the first Brody Lee Chase because it was purple and black. Like, it was proper Dark Order colors. And I thought, I was like, oh, I'm going to open this. Well, I've never opened it, which kind of a good choice. Every other 1 in 3,000 I have either was Shop AEW, which those were $50 a pop, except for whenever they're on sale. And then Andy found me the Darby, or the Ricky Starks in the Darby paint, and the second Brody Lee 1 in 3,000 in the gray and blue suit, which I really want to open, but I have it next, like, I have it displayed with that Moxley Brody poster, and I don't want to move the other one to that. It's so cool, but I want to open that one too because he's in a suit. But, like, I have every Dark Order figure minus the Chase Anna Jay. Like, I have everyone they've made.
Yeah.
And I'm very irritated that to get Alex Reynolds, I have to get a 1 in 5,000. The only thing they could do to make me not mad, and this is not going to happen, but if, like, 3 months after this figure starts coming out, is, hey, we're doing a Ring of Honor 3-pack, the Dark Order is good. And we get current Dark Order, and you get Uno, you get Silver, and you get Reynolds and new gear. I would not give a single solitary fuck that I didn't get the first Alex Reynolds. Because I still got a Reynolds. It's in the blue, like, purple and red gear. Now, are they going to do that? Probably not. Because, unfortunately, that Dark Order Unmatched wave did not sell well. Like, I make the joke, I think I can go around Cape Girardeau right now and get almost that entire wave in box for maybe under $80.
Yep.
Yeah.
If they do some sort of, like, or even just, like, a John Silver, Alex Reynolds 2-pack, I would probably get it, but I would still be annoyed. Because I love Silver, but I don't need a second one to only then have one Alex Reynolds, because my brain's broken in that way of just, like, no, I have one of each. I don't need more than that.
Yeah. But, which, like, I open mine, so it's a little bit different for me. Like, the issue is, like, if I wouldn't have had the staining issue with the Billy Gunn, like, if that figure would have been immaculate coming out of the Acclaimed 3-pack, I would have been like, oh, cool, AC, you got both versions of the Billy Gunn, awesome. But, like, I knew underneath that goddamn tank top there wasn't going to be staining. So, like, I needed it for my set, and you were gracious enough to let me buy it. And I was able to piece it together and, like, have a complete Acclaim that I really like now. I don't think with the Dark Order they're going to do that, because the gears for this Reynolds lines up perfect. It's like what you're saying. It lines up perfectly with the ones that we've already gotten. That if they did make that 3-pack, I'm still going to have an incomplete OG Dark Order wave.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's annoying. If you're listening to this and you're thinking about buying this figure, and Asa, this does go to you, you have to wait a year. Because these AEW figures, the distribution is so... unless you find it at retail. If you find it at Walmart a week after they start dropping, buy it for $19.99, please. If you have two of them, buy two of them and send me the second one. I'll give you $40. But do not try to buy it right away, because it's going to be a $150 to $180 figure for something that maybe in all reality it's 1 in 5,000. I don't think you should spend any more than $80 on it. About to say, I'm doing a price check really quick on the Bunny just to prove my point, because the Bunny was an expensive figure for a while. If I wanted the Bunny, I could get it for $87 on Mercari right now. I could get it for $87. That's the cheapest I could get it. The most recent sold was $60 a day ago. I could get it for $67. I just got to wait for people to start being okay with making deals. If I wanted the Bunny bad enough. And that figure was 8 months ago, if that, maybe less. Be patient with these chases if you want them. Whenever AEW first started making their figures, the chases were insanely hard to get. They were super expensive. You were getting scalping prices every time.
It's gotten a lot more manageable now to where, like, if there's one that you want, you can probably get it for a good price unless it's, like, Sean Spears. Which, by the way, he's Cardona sold a Sean Spears chase on his whatnot that I didn't know he was selling. He sold it for $80. That's a figure that I would go $100 for because it's a 1 in 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish I'd have been in that one. I would have spent the money. but yeah, no, just like be patient with these. It is super frustrating. And I like I'm on the board of being frustrated with people about this. But like, just don't like spend $180 for a toy that you can maybe get 8 months down the line for $60.
And I understand what you're saying. And I get where you're coming from. And I'm not disagreeing with you.
Oh, it's dumb but that we have to do it.
That's my thing, is none of what you're saying is making me feel better about the fact that I can't just go to fucking Walmart right now and know that I'm going to grab him off the shelf. Like, I haven't ordered Swerve online yet because I kind of assume that I'm going to find him.
Yeah, or, like, it's the fact that you can't go on Ringside and just order Alex Reynolds. Like, that is frustrating. There is a storm going on right now.
Yeah, my phone's been buzzing with, like, the severest thunderstorm warnings, so...
Yeah.
Just because we're at that time, I'm going to go ahead and call it for Wrestling with Articulation. Unless there was anything else super pressing that you wanted to get to.
There's a lot of really cool WWE shit dropping soon. Collectathons. Oh, Sting in a goddamn singlet. We're getting Sting. We're getting Stinglet. Yeah, it's going to be a Supreme through Walmart. I'm going to try to order it tomorrow. I don't like Walmart's pre-orders. I'm going to try. I want this Sting. This is the version of Sting I've been wanting AEW to make. It's not quite a flashback, but it's better than pants and long sleeve t-shirt Sting. So, and you know the best part, Asa? It comes with two shirts. It comes with a long sleeve shirt and a short sleeve shirt. You know the best part about this figure? They didn't ship it with him wearing the shirt. He's wearing the coat. So the figure hopefully won't be messed up at all. I'm super excited to get Singlet. I just said Stinglet. I'm really excited to get Singlet Sting. It's really weird that that's a hang up for me, but it's a Sting that I know. It's basically TNA's Sting. And I'm here for it.
I'm excited for you, buddy. The hell?
Weekly news?
Yeah, no, so you said CollectorCon and it reminded me to like check, cause some more stuff got added today, like as the day went on.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to go through and see if there was anything like, because I got the stuff that I needed. So, like, Retro Card Prowler, Hydra, Captain America, etc. There were some Transformers that I got as well. But I was like, oh, wait, I wonder if there was more stuff added. And I got confused because I saw a Marvel Legend that I was like, that wasn't there earlier, but it's one I already have pre-ordered. It's it's the next Villains Wave. It's not really a full Villains Wave because it comes with the Savage Land caveman and his saber tooth, and I'm completely blanking on it's Zabu is the saber tooth. Doesn't matter. Not wrestling related. Big news of the week though, a couple things we do want to talk about because we didn't the last couple. The WWE Hall of Fame class has been the inductees have started to be announced for the 2024 Hall of Fame that will be inducted the WrestleMania weekend in Philadelphia. The first inductee and probably the most deserving one, like the most appropriate, that's what I was looking for, the most appropriate for Philadelphia, Paul Heyman.
That's what that is.
Absolutely. His speech is going to be fascinating. I am so curious to see who they get to induct him.
Ooh, yeah, that's a tough
because
one.
There's a million great answers.
Yeah.
And part of me kind of like, who hates Paul Heyman that's still alive?
Jim Cornette.
Get Cornette to do it.
Yeah,
because that's the kind of make me money go like no, let's get people to watch it.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah, so but I mean you have RVD, Tommy Dreamer, obviously he won't, but like Brock Lesnar could have. CM Punk, you got to think, is a good choice.
That could be. That could very well be it. Just because, like, who's backstage that would do it?
Honestly, I think kind of a dark horse would be Foley.
Oh, yeah.
I think Austin? That could be cool. Yeah, Austin.
Fuck it, Sabu.
I mean, yeah, there's a ton of great answers. And I'm sure there's like a million behind the scenes people, like, you know, Sapolsky. You know, they could bring him into inductive. Like, there's a bunch of there's so many options of who they could get. So I'm very interested to see who will be inducting him. The second announced was Bull Nakano, which is super cool.
Super stoked about that.
I did not realize that I knew she was a former women's champion. I didn't realize that she held the title for like 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had to look that up because this is one of those, like, Bull Nakano very much predates when I was watching.
Mm-hmm.
It's a name that I know. And that's one of the things that I like about the Hall of Fame when they bring in these like older generation stars, is because it's like, oh, cool. Obviously I know Bull Nakano is a legend, but like, I just wasn't super familiar with her WWF run as a whole.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, I thought it was more of just a, like, she won it and then immediately lost it, but she held it for a little bit.
I watched her whenever, so like I told you the story about how like I was not a WCW person. I watched her on WCW tapes whenever I was like 10 to 12 from Village Video in Perryville, because like it was always her and Medusa, and I always really enjoyed those matches. I love Bull Nakano. Obviously, whenever I got older, I started watching more of her stuff because, like, YouTube became a thing, and I was like, oh, I wonder, like, the matches I can find of Bull Nakano, and I fucking rabbit-holed a lot of that shit. Love her. I think she was super ahead of her time. Like, people want to talk about, and, like, rightfully so, Alundra Blaze Medusa, like, very important to women's wrestling. Like, I like Bull Nakano more. I think she has one of the more striking looks in wrestling history.
Mm-hmm.
And just was a really solid wrestler. Not even a good wrestler for a woman. She was just a good wrestler. And she's like wrestled WCW, wrestled WWF. Like, she has a very vast career. That's a very good pickup for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm excited to see. This is another one where it's like, all of these are, okay, so who's going to induct them? Like, who's going to do that?
Medusa's going to induct Bull Nakano.
Is that announced? You're saying that no. Like it's announced. Okay. I was like, do you know something?
But that will be who does it.
Yeah, I could see that. Speaking of people that just, like, I had no idea about, but I'm excited to go back and watch some of his stuff. Thunderbolt Patterson being inducted. Wrestle was a champion in the 70s, ultimately blamed trying to start a union and calling out racism backstage, getting him blacklisted until
2024.
Yeah, essentially. So Wikipedia says that he did tag with Ole Anderson for a while before Arn came in. So excited to learn more about Thunderbolt Patterson, which, by the way, Thunderbolt Patterson, 10 out of 10 wrestling name.
Oh, 100%.
I saw someone say that on Twitter or Reddit or something. I was just like, yeah, that is accurate. Like, that name fucking rules. The U.S. Express is being added in together. This is the second time that Barry Windham has been is being inducted, as he was inducted as part of the Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
And then Mike Rotunda being inducted as well, which is like, I could have swore that IRS was already in.
No. So remember that one project I was talking about?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about doing, and then all the Vince stuff came up and it kind of soured me on wanting to do it. Which it may still happen. But then also Wrestling with Regrets doing that right now. Like, he's going through all the WrestleMania, so I'm like, now it's not even fun for me to think about doing it. I have notes about the first WrestleMania in this match, because that was the thing that Triple H said, like, whenever he had him on the video call, of just being like, you guys were there at the first Mania, like, I think you guys need to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. All I heard that one.
That was loud. I heard it through my headphones.
The only one that I have that was funny on this is Rotunda's dropkick. Holy shit. Because, again, that's the one thing that makes me pop in wrestling as a good dropkick. Apparently, Mike Rotunda had a motherfucker of one. super cool that IRS is getting put into, a person with a journeyman career in wrestling where, like, he was around big shit his whole career. He was just never, like, the person.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So, and then the celebrity induction is Muhammad Ali.
It makes me mad every year when it's not Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah.
Like,
also give Jim Johnston the goddamn Warrior Award.
Yeah, but like, girls just want to have fun, goddammit. I want her in the Hall of Fame. It makes me so mad. And like, all right, the celebrity wing doesn't matter. Like, it's cool. It's cool. But like, Kid Rock and Donald Trump are in there. So I don't care about the celebrity wing. Until they put in Fred Durst and Cyndi Lauper. What? They've had more mania mode.
It's just the, like, wrestling's fucking weird.
Right.
And like, that's the thing you're looking for is Fred Durst and Cyndi Lauper.
Cyndi Lauper. I have a very eclectic taste in music. Muhammad Ali was at WrestleMania 1. He did a referee thing in there, and which makes sense that they're pulling from WrestleMania 1 in a couple different senses in this Hall of Fame. But, like, I think he had a wrestling match that fucked up his boxing career because Antonio Inoki kicked him in the goddamn leg so many times. And not saying, like, don't get me wrong. I am saying this sounding like I am pissed off that Muhammad Ali's in the Hall of Fame whilst looking at a Muhammad Ali wrestling action figure from Mattel. Like, I'm aware that I'm part of the problem and the solution. It's just like, man, just give me Cyndi Lauper. Like, she was such a big part of wrestling in the, like, she is a more than half of the reason the rock and wrestling connection happened. And she's not in the goddamn Hall of Fame. Like, she had Captain Lou in her music videos. That's more than Kid Rock ever did.
It'll happen at some point. It's gotta happen at some point.
I can't even make the joke I was about to make because I was gonna make myself mad. But like, it's cool Muhammad Ali's in there. He's the greatest for a reason. Like, he is, depending on who you talk to, the greatest or second greatest boxer of all time. Yeah, it's cool. Every year that Cyndi Lauper does, like, I'm afraid I'm gonna die before Cyndi Lauper gets put in the Hall of Fame. Here's what's gonna happen, Asa. This is Dalton luck. Dylan, here it is. Fucking mark my words. The month I die is gonna be before they start fucking talking about the Hall of Fame inductions, and that's gonna be the goddamn year that Cyndi Lauper goes in. Or she's gonna get inducted and I'm gonna die before she gets to make the speech. Like, fucking day of. Right before her speech is when I'm gonna croak. I know that's right. That's my luck.
I'm cutting this bit. I don't like it. Hard cut.
You really don't want Cyndi Lauper in the Hall of Fame. I get it.
I'm gonna kick you so hard into somewhere that makes your life uncomfortable for like the next 80 years that you have to suffer through it. And then the final news story of the day. We'll cover more of as more. There is a leaked list apparently that is. So far, like, they've gotten everything right. There's two names left on the list, but just for the sake of those who maybe don't want it spoiled, we're not going to get into it this week. But as more inductees get named and more people who are, they announce who's going to be doing the inducting, we'll talk more about it in the coming weeks. And then the last story to talk about is another big one. Mercedes Moné is All Elite. Has been for a while, apparently, but now she made her debut in Boston last night as of recording. Big business, and the CEO has arrived, and I am very excited for 3 months from now, Mercedes. But yeah. Personally, watching that debut, so much of it was so weird to me. Because, like, they tried to do the CM Punk thing with her, which is fair. Like, okay, she is a big enough star that they could do that. But, like, Chicago and CM Punk are synonymous. before the story of just like, hey, AEW's booking a big Boston show, I wouldn't have been able to tell you that Boston was where Sasha Banks was from.
Really, you couldn't?
I don't associate Boston and Sasha Banks at all. And maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm not paying attention.
So,
but like, she doesn't come out wearing, she doesn't have 85 Boston themed Sasha Banks Mercedes Moné merch. I don't see her as the Boston Celtic.
So here's, and this is why, and this is like why I'm just like, you really don't associate that with her, because what was the one thing that Michael Cole said every time that Sasha Banks was comes
it's
out?
Boss time.
It's boss time. All right, cool. So if you, and this is like weird, follow me. Boston is also known as Beantown. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
All right, cool. So every time that they were in Boston or near Boston at WWE, they called it Boss Town whenever Sasha Banks was around. That is why I associate Boston with Mercedes Moné. Wow, that's the easier name for me to say right now. So like, yeah, the second they did Big Business in Boston and they put the goddamn money
and they spelled it with two yes, yeah, that yeah. was blatant, but like I don't, because commentary sometimes referenced it when they were in that market. I am talking, they did a CM Punk thing when CM Punk, his whole identity is Chicago.
Yeah.
Mercedes is so much more than that. So that's why it's weird that they kind of, so that was kind of a weird thing.
Yeah.
They did so much marketing for Boss Town, and I get that WWE probably owns the Boss trademark stuff, but CEO, like, it's going to grow. It will grow on me. Kinda I guarantee lame. You by this time in like 3 months and we're hearing the crowd chant it because it is so chantable.
Oh,
I'll
yeah.
give them that. But like, yeah, and my initial reaction is like, I don't dig this that much.
This ain't it.
And then the last thing that I will criticize before I talk about how great her fucking promo was. How are you going to give her Gunther's music?
Yeah, a little bit.
Not a little bit. What? Not Megan. 100%. It just like, I mean, yeah, they add a beat to it and like there's lyrics on top of it, but the opening is just straight up the like it's the classical music. Like I don't know the name of the movement
or whatever
song or overture. Yeah. Whatever you call it.
But
like, I was like, man,
that's the issue with public domain music though. Like
they had Mikey Ruckus and maybe he did it, but like, you don't need, not everything needs to be public domain. Like
it's easier to own. Like I think so the Academy stuff, and this is me kind of getting into the weeds about my shit. I picked the way I did. Now Cole Rowland, who shout out to him, cause he did not do our music. I picked his version of Fury Release for the Academy.
Right.
Cause it's hard rock. He could probably go after us if we like went televised with it, because it's his like arrangement of it. But using Fury Elise is not, I'm not going to get in trouble for that because it's public domain. Like that's how long right. the music's been in there. I think that's why they use it for a lot of like wrestlers, because you can do a lot with it. Like that's a song that you can sample and rearrange and you're not going to catch shit for it. The main thing is whenever you have like Danielson, whenever they use Flight of the Valkyries, for him, and then they redo it for AEW and make it somehow cooler, but then add somebody who I legit this whole time thought was a girl until they did their live performance, and I was like, that's a guy? Huh. That's cool. Yeah, it's a weird... They should have just come up with, like, a real custom theme for her that wasn't sampling classical music. But somebody gets paid a lot of money to make that choice, and I'm not that person. So maybe they know more than me.
Yeah, it's such a weird choice to me. Like, I get using I understand why you use royalty free, but like, you're not going to tell me that someone up there wasn't like, oh yeah, that, no, you're telling me no one at AEW, that music department, didn't realize that like, oh yeah, this is the basis of like one of the most prominent champions in WWE right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't get why they open themselves to that. That seems like a stepping on your own, you're like, you're laying down the rake to step on it in your own front yard. But that said, I really dug the promo that she cut. Like, you could tell there was genuine emotion. I love that she shouted out Willow Nightingale and how they have unfinished business. Like she put the locker room on notice. She was very appreciative to the reaction her hometown fans gave her. Her talking about like shouting out the promotion that she started in. I really did like the promo, and I'm very excited to see what they do with her going forward. It does seem like instead of her going after Toni Storm, she's going to be going after Julia Hart, which mm-hmm. is also super interesting. Like, that's a matchup that's like, oh, I don't know why I didn't think about that being a match I really want to see, but yeah, that's a match I really want
to
see.
You kind of almost have to do it because Toni Storm is so ungoddamn touchable right now. That, like, not saying that we've, like, ruined or, like, wasted Deonna Purrazzo, but, like, man, we need to stop bringing in these new women that are so, like, because I want to see them with the belt now, too, but I also, like, but Timeless is so good.
You were correct that Toni Storm feels untouchable in the sense of, like, but you know who could touch her right now? Like, the only person that, like,
CEO.
The presentation could be on that level?
Yes, yeah,
CEO. Is Mercedes.
Yeah.
Yeah, CEO. So, but... very excited to see what they do with Mercedes. The Okada heel turn continues to be great.
Mm,
almost my power of positivity being the 6-man tag of the new elite versus the like enhancement talents. Mm-hmm. And it's literally just like Matthew tags in Okada and Okada just bodies all three of them and just basically wins the match single-handedly.
Who's the backstage interviewer, the dude? I can't think of his name.
I know who you're talking about, but yeah, I'm blanking on
the,
it.
The older guy, he made mm-hmm. him, Okada made him sing happy birthday to Matthew yesterday. He's like, it's his birthday. And I'm not doing the accent. He's like, it's his birthday.
No,
and
don't, like, you know you were not doing the accent, correct?
He was
that is a good instinct you followed.
He was like, oh, happy birthday. And Okada was like, no, sing it. I was folding laundry and I heard him say it.
Did you almost start singing?
I did. I
just
was
like yes, sir.
Instinct. Yeah. I fucking died. Also, bad purchase alert's about to happen. I have a YouTube playing in the background for my ADHD. Just something going mm-hmm. off to my side. And My Damn Toys is reviewing the Coliseum Collections Heart Foundation that just dropped today. And I was gonna hold off a week or two to buy it. But I think I'm just going to do shop pay and just do the pay in four because I won't notice that small because it's like $12 or whatever because it's like 80.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's such a small amount. I think I'm just going to put that up on my shop pay right now to get this
later.
Oh my God, it's so cool looking. Bret Hart figures are not their forte though.
Let's get out of here so you can go ahead and swipe that card over four small payments to make
one
bigger one.
No interest. No interest, baby.
That is it for Nerdiest Part of the Ring. Thank you so much for sticking out with us. Have you played 2K24? Let us know what you think. Who are you excited to see Mercedes Moné go up against in AEW? What did you think of her debut? All of this and more. I'm at the 5-Star Man on everything. Dalton is Mr. D. Anthony, NPOTR, on Twitter. You can follow the show at Nerdiest Part on Instagram and Threads and Twitter and all of that nonsense. So, but yeah, thank you so much. We will be back next week. We'll have more Hall of Fame updates, I bet. We'll talk about the just dumb shit stipulation that they added to the tag, like the Cody Roman match at WrestleMania, because we didn't even get to touch on that. And a ton more. Maybe there'll be more action figure stuff. Who knows?
Oh, there will be.
Oh, there always is. So thank you again. We will talk to you very, very soon. And remember to take care of yourselves, take care of each other. And as always, Steve Blackman is better than Bob Holly.